Hey, it's Ron Jacobs for Workflow TV, and today I want to walk you through this sample I've created on MSDN Code Gallery that talks about building multiple target framework version libraries. All right? Now, most people probably never need to do this kind of stuff, or rarely, but sometimes you have a single set of source files that you want to build for different targets of the .NET framework, like .NET Framework 4, .NET Framework 4.01, or the soon-to-be in beta .NET Framework 4.5. So, I have to do this as part of my work with Microsoft.Activities.Extensions and Microsoft.Activities.Unit Testing, which are projects that we release on CodePlex and also on NuGet. And so, you know, as I was preparing to start building for .NET 4.5, I realized that the technique I'd come up for .NET 4 and 4.01 wasn't going to be sufficient, so I came up with a new way to do it. Now, whenever you want to muck around with things that are as important as your build system and things like that, you don't want to do it on a great big huge project. So what I did is I created a small little project so I could experiment with the ideas and tweak them and work them out until I got them the way I liked it, and then I can go apply it to the great big huge project because I know what I'm doing. This sample is my little project that I use to experiment with the ideas. Now, let me caveat all of this by saying, you might not agree with the way I did this. You might have a better way, a different way, or whatever. That's fine. I just want to educate you about what I did. So the first thing I realized is that project files, you have to have separate project files. Because each project file has a target framework, it applies to everything in that project file, and you can't mix it. So that means I'm going to have different project names. So like in my multi-version library, I have .NET 4.0, .NET 4.5, .NET 4.01 kind of appended to the name there. So that's just my convention for what the target framework is for this file. All right, so we have to keep those separate. And then solution files, you could make different solution files if you want to. I created just one solution file. And you can see it here, I've got everything loaded up, and so usually what I do is I have one big solution file that loads everything so I can build it all at once, and I just created solution folders for .NET 4.0 and .NET 4.01. Now, project constants. So I wanted to be able to do some conditional compilation, and I wanted to automatically generate project constants based on the target framework. All right, so let's take a look at one of these projects. So let's look at this one here, and we'll go look at the project properties. And we'll see that this is targeting .NET Framework 4 client profile. And if we look at build, we'll see a couple of symbols have been defined, .NET 4.0 and .NET 4.0 or greater. Now, I didn't go and type these in. I'll show you how I got them automatically generated. And one little tip about what I've been doing. When you generate things this way, if you go and change the thing that causes it to be generated, you have to close the solution and reopen it because Visual Studio doesn't detect the change. Okay? So that's just a little side note. All right, so how do we get these things set up? Well, let's take a look at a project file. So let's look at this project file, and I'm going to edit it so we can see. Here in this project file, in the first property group, you have kind of basic stuff about that applies to everything in the project. So we can see here the target framework version and the profile, right? And then down here, I've got a couple of lines that say custom before and custom after common targets. So there's this file that ships in the .NET Framework directory, and we can see that it gets included in your project somewhere down here. Here it is. Microsoft.C#.targets, and this file includes Microsoft.common.targets. Now, the common.targets is what does most of the work in the build system, and it defines a couple of hooks that allow me to get in and do things before the build and after the build, and that's how I made all of this work. So what I did was I created a couple of files. So here I have multiversion.before.targets, and then I have multiversion.after.targets that I've hooked into the build system using that project file hook. So what do I have in here? Here's where I do the magic. So here I'm defining some constants, right? So I define a constant like net 40, net 401, or net45, and it's all based on the target framework version. Then the other thing I did was to define constants based on a numeric comparison. So that way you can say net 40 or greater, net 401 or greater, and so forth, right? So that way if I'm using a type like some of the state machine types that were introduced in net 401, when I put that code under .NET 4.5, it'll still work because .NET 4.5 will have net 401 or greater defined also. Now that there's some other things here, like one of the things I do here is fix the output path for designer assemblies so that they build in the output folder of the associated assembly, because that's important. And you know, I set up some paths in terms of the output paths and intermediate output paths and so forth. And then here I wire in some dependencies. So there's a few things I need to do during the build, and some have to happen before and some happen after. So one of the things is I have to deal with configuration files, and the other thing is I have to overcome a bug in Visual Studio about the obj folder and its intermediate output path. And that is that Visual Studio, for some reason, seems to ignore the intermediate output path, not for everything, but just for a couple important things. And so I've worked around that by setting up these compile depends on. So here, after the compilation, I go into the obj folder and I copy the things from where Visual Studio put them to where they should be, and that fixes everything. Then in the after targets, this is where I have my specific targets that happen after the build, and so we can do all of those things here, right? Now, let's take a look at the program. So let's go and look under Net 401 at my program CS. So you can see my program is amazing here. It has a lot of cool stuff. It's pretty simple, really. What I'm going to do is just go through and show things about the environment, what the CLR version is, what the types of this program are, and types loaded from the other assembly. I'll show some conditional compilation, and then if we're in .NET 401 or greater, I'll run a state machine workflow. If we're not, we'll just run a regular workflow. And I've set up a class in this multi-version library that tracks events. And it, you know, so it has to deal with state machine, right? And so in cases where we're in .NET 401, we're going to be able to deal with state machine state records, okay? So let's go and run this thing. If we look here under the main folder, as a post-build event, I create these folders and copy versions of the files around. So this one, TC40 Lib40, just means that everything is from the same version, and it's all built for .NET Framework 4. All right, so if I run this, we see that it gives me a little rundown of all the versions of everything and the conditional compilation, and we see that it ran a workflow, and only the workflow, not the state machine, right? If we come over here and we look at the one that's built for 401, and then what I can do here is now I see at the end we get the state machine, we see that lines that said net 401 or greater and so forth ran there as well. And, oh yeah, the other thing is the config file. Now, if we were to look at this config file, we would see that this one has net 401 in it, right? Now, what I did was, for config files, I had to deal with the app config, right? Now, you know that Visual Studio will take an app config and copy it to your output directory and rename it with the target name. And that occurred to me, well, sometimes you use things, you mention types in your config file, and some types only exist in certain versions of your target, right? So you might need to have version-aware config files. So if you do, what you can do is create like a app dot and then the net version, like this one is net401.config. And then one of my custom build actions copies that app.net 401 config over app.config, and then Visual Studio does the rest. Now, let's look at something else that's kind of interesting, which is, what if you got a mismatch? Like here, I've got Test Console for built for Net 4.0 along with the assembly, the library assembly that's built for Net 4.0.1. Will this work? Well, of course not. It doesn't work. And the reason is that I've used strong names. Strong names keeps this from working. But if you don't use strong names, it actually will work. And the reason it will work is that we are running on the CLR version, .NET 4.0.3. So, how did I get 4.0.3? I don't know, it came through on some kind of an update or something, but if you go to the Download Center and download the .NET Framework today, as of this taping, you will get 4.0.3, which is actually Platform Update 3. Now, if I were to take code that was built for 4.0.1 and go and try to run it on a machine that did not have anything beyond the .NET Framework 4.0.0, it's going to blow up. All right? So that is my tricky build system thing. And I'm using this for my projects on CodePlex, the Microsoft.activities.extensions, and Microsoft.activities.unit testing. And it's working wonderfully, and it handles all kinds of cool things like the output paths. Like, check this out. So if I look in bin, debug, I see the outputs for Net 4.0 and Net 4.0.1. And it also works under the obj paths, Net 4.0 and Net 4.0.1. The debug here is that little Visual Studio glitch I mentioned to you earlier. And it works with the command line build and the whole thing. Now, I put all of this on Code Gallery so that you can see how I did it, and you can even learn about the thing that will save you when you're mucking around with build files, which is diagnostics from MS Build. So you can go in and set the MS Build diagnostic, and then you'll be much happier if you do that. So that's it for this episode of Workflow TV. We'll have more next time. We'll see you then.